Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2022 Youth Education Conference held in Morristown, Tennessee.
DC,
and he was supposed to go but didn't. And then I'm the only girl who ever turned him down. So
100%.
He thought he needed to keep trying.
Yes.
So I'm sorry. Right. And life is good. Who are you?
I'm Paul Clegg. So there's a little bit more of those stories, right? Very possible that it was my brother. I don't know. But Sammy and I, our paths have kind of always crisscrossed back and forth throughout life. Like I said, when we were about 10, we kind of hung out at the same places. More importantly, when she's like, my brother was at the theater and I was kind of not at the theater. But I came home from my mission, right, gentlemen? And the last week or last month of my mission, my mission president was like, here's your goal. You need to figure out how to get married as quick as you can. And I was like, yeah, because I've been 2 years with no girl interaction other than, would you like to learn about the gospel? And so I have dates lined up. So I got home on a Tuesday night, reported on a Wednesday night, and that was my first date, was Wednesday night. My mom was like, you're not going to take any time? I was like, no, I'm good. So Friday night, from being home from Germany for less than 72 hours-ish, I saw her and was like, oh, she's amazing. So when my date went to the bathroom, I was like, hey, I'm Dave's little brother. And she went, ha-ha, and walked away from me.
Okay, I had to clean up after the show. If anybody's done theater, you have to put the set away. You have to, like, put costumes away. And we had a party. Things had to happen.
So that was a part of, legitimately, she's the only girl who I've ever been like, I'm dating her, to turn me down. And so it kind of became the uncatchable fish. So it took me about 2 years, a year and a half after that. Yeah. And finally she kind of came back into my life. We always were at my brother's house, and my one brother hated the theater people. And so we would always be downstairs playing video games while they were having their little theater stuff.
We had a lot of parties.
They had a lot of parties at my brother's house, my other brother's house. So that's how she was always either upstairs and I was downstairs, or they were downstairs and I was upstairs. So our paths kind of kept continuing to go through. On my mission, I had a little girl that I used to do theater with, and she was like, oh, there's this boy you have to write. And then she didn't take the advice, and so she never wrote me on my mission, but she could have.
I could have. She said, you are perfect, you should get married.
Which, I mean, it's one of those things, right? She's like, you're perfect, you should get married. There's advice given in life that sometimes we don't always take, right? So we wanted to start off this class a little bit of kind of who we are and how we got to where we're at. But there's certain key pieces of advice that we have either heard and listened to, and it's worked out really, really, really well. Or there's key advice that we have heard and then went, yeah, that's great advice, and then not listened to and wish we had.
So he was given the advice when he got on his mission to find a gift for his wife. A gift that you give, when do you give it, one of my boys? Amen.
The wedding night.
The wedding night. A gift that you give her the day that you get married. That night, you are married. A bracelet, a necklace, a book. Something that you can only get in your area. Now, if you serve in Tennessee, it's harder to find, like, something Tennessee. I don't know, buy her a possum necklace. Find something, a possum tail, good luck charm, I don't know, I got whatever. But get her something. and give it to her her wedding night. So his brother got his wife this beautiful charm from Holland, and it's got flowers in it, and it's all cute. His brother who went to Russia got nesting dolls and a necklace. His other brother from Hungary got...
Mariska as well. Yeah, nesting dolls.
A nesting doll, and I think a bracelet. I think she got a bracelet.
Hold on, wait. I was going to say, so pause. So, I went to Germany. What did I get her?
What did you get me?
Bratwurst. Bratwurst? Yes, in my pocket. Like.
Yeah, it was super awesome.
Chocolate.
2-year-old
bratwurst.
Chocolate.
A stein.
A stein. Oh. Light. There's some great ones.
Chocolate.
A big fat nothing.
Nothing.
He didn't take the advice. He was the youngest boy. All the other boys brought it home. I'm only slightly bitter still. So, buy the gift.
Right,
on your mission. Write it down. Buy the gift.
Well,
it's good advice.
And we talked about this is good advice that we were like, yeah, that's brilliant, and didn't follow, and are now reaping the repercussions.
He's
right?
Saying he's going to take me then and let me pick out my own gift.
See, that's how you have to play it, right? I'm a salesman by trade. That's how we roll, is I'm like, I didn't want to pick your gift out for you and have you not like it. I wanted you to pick it out and love it. So that's where we're at 17 years later of she needs to go pick her own gift out. It's not for me.
I do it every year. It's fine.
This is true.
Yeah, so buy the gift. It's good advice. What's advice number two?
On the gift part, though, it is important. It's not for your girlfriend. It's not for your fiance. It is for your wife. I have seen people take this advice, and they go in their mission, and they come back with something so cool, and they can't get it back. And then they get engaged, and they're like, I love this woman. She's amazing. And then they give it, and then they're like, and we shouldn't be married. And then they split up, and she keeps it. That sucks. Good piece of advice, bad piece of advice. Maybe we need to vote on this. Good piece of advice?
Yeah, right?
But I feel like you
need
to buy an
X
piece just in case. No,
you're married. If you enter into marriage with a plan B, not a good part. Okay. The other piece of advice, so I'm going to give this one, and this is more for the boys on this one, also and for the girls. Who is planning on going on a mission? Okay, perfect. I was one that, honestly, my plans were not to go on a mission. When I turned my mission papers in, I handed them in, and my bishop was like, wait, you want a what? And then my stake president was like, oh, good. And then I got my mission papers back, and I got my call to Dusseldorf, Germany, and all my friends were like, you're Mormon? And I was like, yeah, some things have changed since high school graduation. It was one of the parts, though, I realized in life, you have one chance to do certain things in your life. And you can never turn back that clock and go and do things again. So if you get offered a seat on a rocket ship, you don't say, well, what seat am I getting? Is it a window seat? No, just get on the rocket and go and do it and have fun. You have one shot to serve a mission at a young age. The next time you get to serve a mission, maybe with a spouse, maybe when your spouse dies and you decide to go, but you have one chance to go on a mission while you're young. Okay? Take it, do it, love it. It'll be the best part of it. Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah. Who knows Phineas and Ferb?
I do.
All right,
I
know. Wait.
Who can sing the opening theme song, just a little bit of it?
Oh, no.
Wait, the first line, just the first line. What is it? Close. That was one episode. How many days of summer? Wait, how many?
104. Guess how many weeks you're on your mission?
No way.
104.
You have 2 years.
Summer of your life.
You have 2 years. Woo. 52 weeks. 104 days of your mission.
104 weeks.
104 P-days.
104.
And life comes along just to end it. Right?
Right?
It's a problem for your generation.
Right? You do it. So, every day a journal entry as well. Every day needs to be a journal entry. Do something every day to make it a journal entry. Sometimes it's boring. I folded clothes. It's a journal entry, right? Sometimes it's exciting. I kicked a possum. That's a thing in our mission. Kick a possum. I don't know. I didn't go on a mission there. But, like, every day you want to have a journal entry. Something exciting. Make it the Phineas and Ferb moment. I mean, Phineas and Ferb is great. If you don't know Phineas and Ferb, I'd watch with the prophet.
So does anybody know the name Ben Shapiro? That's kind of an eclectic one. Probably your mom or your dad kind of listened to it and they're just like, hey, look, right? First off, facts don't care about your feelings. That's always a piece of advice I love from him. But the other piece of advice I got from Ben Shapiro is no expectations in life. No expectations in marriage, no expectations in life. When he got married, his actually honeymoon week, he got married and then the next day was upset with his wife. Do you guys know why? Has anybody ever heard this story? He was upset because his mom, every day, when they got up and they had breakfast, his dad would sit down at the table and his mom would put his bagels and slice them and put them in the toaster. When they'd pop up, she'd grab his bagels out and she'd butter his bagel and then put them on a little plate and serve him his bagels. And so he was like, I have expectations. That's what a wife does. So his expectation, unbeknownst to his now wife, was in the morning when he had bagels, the expectation was she would butter his bagel and then give him his bagel. And when she said, get your own bagel and butter it yourself, he was like, whoa.
He didn't ask for it very nice.
Probably didn't either. It's Ben Shapiro. But he said his entire world crumbled. Why would his entire world crumble?
It's a bagel.
Expectations, right? And it's a bagel. It's a dude and it's food. We get it, right?
Yeah.
We get a little sensitive. It's early morning. You're hungry. And come on, you just wrecked my life. But that part of expectations, he had unfair expectations of what a woman should be in his life. He didn't communicate that to her. He didn't have that. And so that's one of the things as a man, and honestly, as just a good bit of relationship advice, if you don't have any expectations of what's going to be coming from another person, can they let you down?
No.
Mm-mm. Now, I will tell you in life, if you serve the other person and you try to do everything you possibly can, guess what happens?
They get an expectation.
Get shut down.
They get an expectation.
They may get expectations. I can tell you in a 17-year marriage where I think we've maybe had, maybe on a single hand, five fights.
Yeah, one was over dishes.
I tried to do dishes.
He did them wrong.
Okay. The other one was I didn't sand the floor.
Oh, that's a bad story. We probably shouldn't.
It was a rough one. We don't want to relive that one. But the things that we have picked on were very, very few and far between as far as having expectations and not having these expectations met.
They went here. Okay. I had an expectation. I was 8.5 months pregnant with Amos. And I was living in my in-law's house when I owned a home because we were waiting to finish the floors to move in. And he was working graves, and so he was really tired. And I got really angry because I expected to be in my own home, not sleeping in his parents' home. And so I was on the floor with a hand sanitizer, sanding the floor.
8.5 months pregnant.
And just so mad. And he came bebopping in and he's like, what are you doing? And
she told me to get out very nicely.
Yeah, very nicely. Told him to get out of my house. I was done. And then I proceeded. I think he called, like, he didn't leave. He took the sander and then I started crying.
Yeah, it was a rough day. But
sad. Sand the floor.
Right, get your honey-do list done quick and early.
Yeah.
No, so that's what the other part, though, is we wanted to talk about expectations, about having expectations and knowing what your expectations are of yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you? That's an actual question.
Yeah.
Who are you? We're going to take a couple of people by the raise of hands.
Son of God.
Okay. Oh, good job.
I am an artist, a future husband, and going to be a good father.
I love it.
A human.
Great. Trevor. What was that, baby? Who are you? Can you tell me something about yourself? A drawing? Okay, so you're an artist.
One of the things we're talking about knowing who you are. So, do you guys understand in this world today, how hard is it, or how much do we get from other people or other places of what you should be, or what you can be, or even from our own friends of saying, oh, no, we shouldn't do that. Do we get that quite often? What's an example of that? Anybody? An example where you're like, yeah, this is who I am, and then you have an outside influence going, ah, no, do you really want to do that? How easy is it to stay good? One of the things he said, though, is sometimes older people, their influence in saying, hey, this is what we want to do, or hey, this is where maybe you shouldn't do that. So I work in sales. I literally have to babysit drunk people probably 2 to 3 times a week. It's ridiculous of the amount of alcohol that is consumed at corporate functions. So one thing in life is they understand that I don't drink at all. And it's interesting that when we hold to our convictions and hold to who we are, how other people begin to respect it, right? So now at a corporate function, when I'm there, we actually do have we have those moments where people come in and say, hey, that's Paul's seat, and don't put a wine glass there because he's not going to drink. And it's interesting to see the culture shifting inside of our work and inside different engagements where people will come up and be like, hey, I'm really, really impressed. And all that is just that consistency of knowing who you are and just saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to stand for, and this is what I'm going to do or what I'm not going to do.
What are we talking? I'm sorry. I came in. We're talking about who we are. I just want to make sure that we understood that we were children of God, right? We know that we get to be kings, right? We all know you're going to be a king. The girls get told all the time, we're a princess, you're a queen. You have power, right? That's the girls all the time. But do you boys know that? Do you know that you're a king, potentially? Like, you have the potential to be a king, right? A god, just like Heavenly Father, right? It's important to know that about yourself. Because how will that change who you are? If you're a king, how are you going to behave? Besides, what are my wiggles? Especially. It changes who you are and how you behave. That's why we always tell the girls, you're a queen, you're a princess, you're beautiful, right? You are handsome. You're amazing. You're strong. You're fierce. You're good. You are who Heavenly Father needs right now. And I need you all to know that, because the world is stupid. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. It's confused right now, right? And we need to know who we are, because Satan doesn't want us to know who we are. He doesn't want us to know that we are kings. Because if we're a peasant cleaning out this stable, we're going to behave differently than if we're the king. And he wants us to think that we're anything else but that. He wants us to not talk about Bruno.
Right? Silencio Bruno.
Right?
Silencio Bruno.
Because we don't talk about Bruno. I want to sing the song now. We don't talk about Bruno. No.
I'm sure we could probably get a good rendition going.
You don't know what you do.
You don't know what you do, right?
Stop that and
it won't end. It won't end. What else is there? Why don't they talk about Bruno? Anybody?
They're afraid of him?
They can't explain. Did Bruno do something they didn't like?
Yeah,
and then what happened?
I'm sorry, I was going to ask you this question.
Go.
They don't want to remember him.
They don't want to remember him, right? But he did something they didn't like. He gave a prophecy, right? That something
Bring
was.
Him up.
I'm sorry. Say it one more time. I didn't hear you. I was listening to myself.
He freaked him out.
There we go. Sorry. He scared them, and they didn't like that. He did something they didn't like. And he felt like he made a mistake by doing that, right?
He gave them prophecies, and then they thought it was his fault that those things came true, even though technically he just preparing them for the worst.
Right, he was telling them.
Well, he actually left because he had a prophecy, but he didn't want to tell anyone.
Well, he had it, and they didn't like Grandma, Abuelita. She didn't like the prophecy.
Well, he never showed it.
I thought he showed it to anyone.
We need to rewatch this movie.
We're gonna watch this again. You're right, he didn't show anybody, but I thought it was implied that he did. Anyway, he hides it, right? He hides the prophecy. He breaks it and hides it, and then he goes into hiding.
He smashes it into pieces.
He smashes it. Do we have things that we hide in our life?
Yes.
That we don't want anybody to know about?
Yeah.
Mistakes? Maybe things we think are mistakes? What else? What happens at the end of the movie?
They all die. They all die. The house is destroyed.
I mean, I guess if you fast forward long enough, they will all die.
Yeah. Right? But does Bruno stay hidden?
No.
No, he comes out, right? And he says what his prophecy is. We're probably going down a road you didn't think about with Bruno. Because Bruno isn't necessarily bad. But do we have Brunos in our life?
Yeah.
That we hide, right? And when he came out, what did he say when he comes out? We got to talk about Bruno. Anybody know that song?
Yes.
What happens? He apologizes. What else?
So I was going to say something about like intro thing for Encanto that I saw. When I saw it, I thought basically they were going to make Bruno be like the villain and then. And
right? 7 foot tall, rats up on his back.
So I didn't see like the song thing, but like, I saw the truth thing and it looked like he was supposed to be evil and then she.
It was a decent plot twist, right?
Right. He thought he was gonna be. In the end, he apologizes. And then, what does his family say?
They forgive him.
They forgive him. They said, "We don't really care, right? We love you, and we've missed you for the last 10 years. He was in hiding, in the walls. So, you're Bruno's. I don't know what your Brunos are, and I don't want you to tell me what your Brunos are. You know what your Brunos are. But guess what? When you bring your Brunos out of hiding, who's going to love you?
Nobody. Bruno.
Nobody? Somebody's going to love you. Who's going to love you?
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father will love you. Who else will love you?
Your parents.
Your parents?
Christ.
Christ.
Yourself.
You will probably love yourself a little bit more. Your friends? Well, your friends probably won't care. Right? What about if you have to talk to the bishop about your Bruno? Is he going to love you?
No.
Yes. No? You didn't need a bishop. your bishop better love you and your Bruno, right? Because sometimes we do things and we think it's important to hide them. Or maybe not important to hide them, but we try to hide them. That's what Satan wants, right? He wants us to hide things. But when it comes out, the people around you love you. They're not gonna like, well, they might yell at you, but they're not gonna be, what's the word? They're not gonna ban you into the walls of the house to fix the cracks, right? You don't have to pretend you're Hector and talk to mice.
Bruno banned himself.
I know. Wait,
with that though, so Bruno banned himself. Do we often find ourselves that if we've done something and say, I don't think I can share this with anybody else. Do we ever push that down?
Well, he didn't want to share it with anybody else because he was saving Maribel from...
He was afraid, right? Yeah, he was afraid to share it with people because he was saving.
He hid it because he was afraid of the judgment of the rest of the family.
Correct.
Listen, you'll hear it.
Correct. He was afraid of the judgment of the rest of the family.
So how often do we have things in our life that either happen or we make a decision that we're like, ooh, I'm not going to share that, and I'm going to hide that down. Right? You may be in plain sight, right? But that's one of those things of, ultimately, that is one of the things that, and I say this not tongue-in-cheek, I know that I have a Heavenly Father, and I know that as a God, because I know that there is absolute evil in this world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's the part of with Bruno, that was one of the reasons we decided to talk about it. Not necessarily for a movie review or a critique, but to draw that correlation of we all have a little bit of Bruno inside of us, that when we have something that thinks, it's not going to be either socially acceptable, or maybe sometimes we've done something or had a prophecy that we're like, ooh, if I share that, I'm going to either be shunned or outcast, or you know what, I've done something that I don't think that if I share, people are going to love me. That's where we wanted to come around full circle with this one. Because I think as men in this world, there is a lot of pressure to, one, I have a rare disease. My kidneys are up here. So when I get emotional, I start to cry, right? But it's not crying. I just have to pee. That's all that is, I swear. But that's one of the things of, as a man, how often are you told, you don't cry, suck it up? Right? Sometimes.
Maybe not as much in homeschool world.
Maybe not as much in homeschool. But in the real world, right? Like if you break down... I've got a boss, and I've seen him get teary-eyed before, and that's okay. Like, I love that boss. But there's other points in life where you get told, because you're this, you have to do this. Right? There are expectations put on you. And I will tell you this, gentlemen, the world is a cruel place. Right? Sometimes it's not the safest of places. That's why I'm glad I have a mother and I'm glad I have a puzzle piece. Right? Who said what? That's a good thing if you said what? Does everybody understand what it's like to find a puzzle piece?
What's a puzzle piece?
One in a million.
I know what a puzzle piece is, but what do you mean by puzzle piece?
Are you okay to get into this one?
I'm okay.
Okay. Puzzle piece. Who's ever put a puzzle together?
Yep.
Have you ever put a puzzle together and you got one, maybe two missing puzzle pieces? Has anybody made their own puzzle piece?
Yes.
Who's made their own puzzle piece? How well does it fit?
Pretty well.
So if you were to try to put that missing puzzle piece in another piece of the puzzle, would it work?
No.
What happens if you find that missing puzzle piece and you've got the one you made and you're like, I have another puzzle that this could go in? Is that going to work out very well?
No.
Okay, gentlemen, this is another piece that, keep this in the back of your mind and pay attention just for 30 seconds on this one. You are your own puzzle piece. Your job throughout life is to find a piece that matches you. So when you go through your life and you're making decisions, that's like you taking your puzzle piece and trimming it up. You're going to be trimming it back and forth. You may cut off one of those little nubs, right? Maybe you cut an angle on your own puzzle piece. The experiences that you have make you a puzzle piece, right? It's who you are. When you can find a puzzle piece that actually fits, it's amazing. So your job throughout life is to find your puzzle piece
and give her the gift.
And give her a gift that you got on your mission. But that's the part of when you go throughout life. So when I say I found a puzzle piece, I am meaning I found a woman who literally for 17 years we've had like four fights. That's awesome. That's a pretty good run and a pretty good average, right? Other than not buying her a present from Germany. We never yell. Other than her standing on the floor and her yelling at me.
I would say I just used a loud voice.
That was worth it.
She used a mom voice.
But that's the part of when you go through life and you have an opportunity to find a puzzle piece, she's my puzzle piece. And the coolest part is once you find your first puzzle piece, how hard is it to look at the puzzle and be at one piece and go, I know what this puzzle is going to look like. Now, what happens when you add a second puzzle piece? Gets a little easier? What happens when you add a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth piece of the puzzle? It's a lot easier. As you start with your two puzzle pieces, you're going to start growing your puzzle out. And you're going to start to begin to see what your picture is. Right? Bro, I added six more puzzle pieces on my own. Well, not on my own. She helped. Benson's got 15. But that's a part of, as your puzzle piece grows, how awesome is that? That you can start to see your picture grow. Taking vacations together, having those experiences together, that's adding pieces of your puzzle to your story and to your puzzle. You know what? That's actually a good thing to go back to Bruno about. What happens if you've taken your puzzle piece and you've taken a little chip out of it? Do you just take that puzzle piece and throw it down the drain or say, hey, puppy, come here? Is it easier, or would you put that puzzle piece in and go, you know what? I remember what happened to that corner. Sometimes your puzzle piece gets wet, and you have to take an iron to it and try to fix it the best you can, and then put it back in. It does work. Blew your mind. You can iron a puzzle. So that's the important part. How many of you feel in life that you may not fit? I know that's a rough question to kind of look at. Again, gentlemen, a puzzle piece. You don't have to fit. Guess what? If you don't fit in your current situation, I guarantee you, as you go through life, you will find your puzzle piece. I have another piece of advice. All right, in life, what do you have to make it through this life?
Lemons.
What makes life easier? What was that? Wait, somebody said something starts with an M.
Money.
All right, I'm not here to do a financial seminar or anything else like that.
Ceremony.
You're going to have certain things that you need to stand on and certain principles you need to stand on. While you're young, a piece of advice that I would give to every single young person and old person, learn to invest and learn how to manage your money right now. Okay? There is a thing called the eighth wonder of the world. Does anybody know what this is?
Money.
Stock market.
Literally, Albert Einstein said the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. Oh, yeah. Did you guys know that?
Oh, yeah.
That is a legitimate quote from Albert Einstein.
And it's pretty accurate.
Can anybody explain what compounding interest is? I know this is not supposed to be a financial class, but it is a good piece of advice.
So the basic explanation of compound interest is if your interest compounds once a year and I put $1,000 in, let's go with 10% interest to make this really easy. I put $1,000 in. 10% of that is $100, right?
Done.
So at the end of the year,
you get $100.
You get $100, add to that. And then now I've got $1,100. Next year I get 10% of that, and I get $1,100 added to that, and then I have.
Then you get
$110. And add that to that.
Okay. So here's the rule of thumb. If you start investing when you're 16 and you invest $100 every month for 20 years, if you did that for 20 years, right, from 16 to 36 and stopped, when you turn 62 and actually can pull retirement out, you will have over $1.4 million in the bank. That's $100 a month from what, 16 to 36.
You stick $2,000 in.
The more you put in, the better it is. So compounding interest, one of the best things ever. Sorry.
We didn't do it. We didn't follow the advice.
Yeah, these are pieces of advice that I wish I would have followed when I was young and didn't. Okay, we're gonna have a kind of an open question one, because we were like, okay, how do we fill up 50 minutes? And then I said, you know what, it's kind of important, and Sammy would agree. She's like, it's important for you guys to be able to ask questions that you may be like, you know what, I've got a question, and I'm gonna willing to put myself out on the line and say, what about this? What questions do you want to hear? Or what questions do you have?
So you've been talking about avoiding expectations. What is the practical, like, everyday solution to avoiding expectations, since I feel like we build them mentally all the time?
I love that question.
I think you have to have some expectations. Like, you have a few things. Like, I expect the sun to rise every morning, even if I can't see it, right? I expect my kids to do their homework, even if they don't. But then I get angry. So if you have the expectation, you're going to have that consequence potentially of disappointment, anger, frustration. And so I think it comes down to removing those expectations that you don't have control. Is that what you're thinking? Like, or you
I would
control somebody else? I don't know. It just kind of happens.
One of the ways that I remove expectations, and also I put expectations under stress, because ultimately when you have stress, you expected something to happen, or even you had an expectation of yourself and it didn't happen and now you're stressed out about it. One of the things I do, I always have this with me, always. This is with me more or almost just as much as my phone, and it's definitely with me more than my wallet, because I always look for my wallet more than I look for this, because I know where this is at. But one of the things though is when you have an expectation, I would list your expectations, right? If I work 10 hours today, I'm gonna get paid X amount. When you start listing out your expectations, and then there's some of them that are hinging or contingent on someone else doing something out of your control, that's not an expectation, that's actually a good expectation. Like if you have, I have the expectation of the sun to rise, you can have that expectation, it's probably a pretty good assumption, but ultimately the sun has its own agenda and it's gonna do what it has to do. If you can't control an expectation, cross it off your list, and you're going to cross off a lot of your stress too. Okay, the difference between expectations and demands.
I would say the difference is I have a demand. I want you to do the dishes tonight. But if I didn't tell him that I wanted that to happen, and I'm just expecting that he's going to walk in the kitchen and want it to be clean just because I want it to be clean, I'm going to walk in and be disappointed and upset because I didn't voice my demand. My demand is I want you to do the dishes. Yeah, that's my demand, is I want you to do the dishes. And he got confused. I want you to make my thing. And he didn't ask, he didn't say, he didn't give her any notice that that's what he wanted. So if I don't tell you, then I'm setting myself up for my expectation to fail. Now, if I've asked you and you say, yes, I'm going to do that, I still have the expectation. Chances are I'm not going to be disappointed. And I don't know. I think that's the difference between the expectation and the demand. The demand I know, the expectation is there's no communication.
So you're saying that a demand is a communicated expectation, and an expectation isn't really communicated?
I would say for me.
I would say absolutely. Like, if you don't communicate your expectations, honestly, it's like communicating, or it's like having a goal. Do you ever achieve anything on a consistent basis without having a goal?
No.
But if you have a goal, so there is one of the things that, it was a segue into one of the things we've got. I actually had one of my counselors it's just one of the people in our church. And he said, if you never have a goal, you'll never achieve anything. If you don't know where you're going, it's very, very hard to get there. And that's one of the things, too, we looked at it from the next steps perspective. If you're running through all your next steps, and you have a goal that's going to take you 5,000 steps to get to, and if you don't identify your next step, and you take that step and look up and go, yep, I'm still on that path, that goal will never be reached. Far too often, and this is one of the things, too, gentlemen, this is a subject near and dear to my heart, is I see a lot of expectations put around a mission. Do you guys feel that there's expectations around a mission?
Yeah.
Yep. What's after a mission?
Marriage.
Has that been communicated as heavily as serve a mission?
College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Just about.
That's one of the things that I see most often is young men serve missions and then come home and go, okay, now what? Or they know, okay, maybe I'm going to get married. And they're like, okay, now what? The goal in this life is not to serve a mission. The goal in this life is to return to your Heavenly Father. That's the ultimate goal. Serving a mission is just a step, right? I'm going to say that, and hopefully your parents won't scream and yell. It's a step. There are steps that can be skipped, right? Missions, I advocate 1,000%. Go on it, experience it, love it, because you get how many shots at a mission?
One.
One, as you're 19. Right? 18, 19, you have one shot, and then it's over. You may have a shot later down the road, but between that age range, you have one shot to go do it. Enjoy your seat on the rocket ship. But enjoy your summer of your life, because after that, life starts, and it kind of sucks at times. Right? So have a goal, because if you don't have a goal, you cannot take the next steps. Because then you don't know what the steps you're going to go take are leading you to.
Perfect. One more question.
One more question.
We have 4 minutes. One more question.
How am I supposed to go somewhere if I don't know where I'm going?
Pray.
That's a good statement, but not really a question.
Pray about it.
Oh, that is a question.
That's my answer to everything. Pray and drink water. Pray. Good advice. Pray, drink water. Oh, I have one more good piece of advice. I got told this by a seminary teacher once. If you read at least one scripture and say a prayer every day, you can't stray from the path but so much. That doesn't mean you won't stray. It doesn't mean you won't make bad choices. But if you read one scripture and say a prayer every day, you're keeping in contact at least with the Lord. Do that. If you're not doing it, start. It keeps you out of a lot of trouble and a lot of bad choices. Obviously, reading more is better. But at least one scripture, one prayer every day. That's right.
An apostle said that, I think.
It was one of my seminary teachers told me, so he probably stole it from him. Oh.
Which is good advice.
It's good advice. All right, anybody else?
Never feel sorry for raising dragons. Here we go. Not you.
Never feel sorry for raising dragons.
She made me put this quote in it.
Okay.
Okay. Sammy made that note and put it in, and she's like, "Oh, you have to put this little piece into it."
I think you just needed to say it at some point. You should have said it in the girl anyway.
So this part, there's a Chinese proverb that I'm gonna probably end most of my classes this week with it. There was two of them. One was, "Never feel sorry for raising dragon slayers when there are actual dragons about."
We should have thrown that in with Bruno.
But when your parents are trying to tell you something and be like, look, I'm trying to raise a good young man, there's a reason that good men are needed in this world, because there are a lot of bad things out there. So if you're getting raised to be a good man and you're standing on principles to be good men, don't ever feel bad for that, because the world needs good men, because there's a lot of evil out there. Now, there is a Chinese proverb of this Chinese guy who goes out and he's on his farm and he loses his horse. And there's a horse, and everybody's like, oh, that sucks. The whole village came out. That's too bad. And he's like, maybe. And then the next day, 7 horses showed up on his property. Everybody's like, oh, you were so lucky. There's 7 horses now on your property. He goes, maybe. And then next day, his son's taking one of the horses back into the stall, and it kicks him and breaks his leg. And the whole village shows up and says, oh, that's too bad. Your son broke his leg. That's horrible. And he goes, eh, maybe. You see where I'm going with this? The next day, the army shows up to conscript people into the army to go fight a war, or fight a war. Or that other one. But what ends up happening is they said, oh, your son didn't get taken because he had a broken leg. That's great news. And he goes, well, maybe. In life, you don't know the end of your story yet. So when good things happen or bad things happen in your life, is it good or is it bad? It's a maybe.
Sometimes, maybe.
It's a maybe. All right.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.